ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
You have tuned to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hello, everyone. Welcome in. My name is Frank LaRosa, along with my buddy Scott Marsh. We are here to talk golf for the next hour. Scott, we haven't played much golf lately, but we're going to talk about it anyway.
Well, you know what? As long as we're talking about the game, that is good enough for me for now. I can't wait to get back out there more, though.
Yeah, we played over the weekend, and the weather was just phenomenal. And we're turning the corner. Springtime is not too far away, I think.
Yeah, no, it's been beautiful around here, and absolutely, it is becoming golf weather fast.
You know, we've talked a number of times about holes in one, and you're still searching for one, and I know it's going to happen, but
Of course, we've talked a lot about your three hole in ones,
and we talked about the fact that I never saw any of them either. So I'm not quite sure what any of that means, but you know, our first guests on the show today have a really interesting story because you know, they were playing in a tournament at Granite Bay over the weekend, a St. Patrick's Day tournament. And it was match play. And wouldn't you know it, some holes in one were involved in this tournament. And it was very, very exciting. And so we're going to talk to Michael Nicoletti, who's the PGA head golf professional at Granite Bay Country Club, and Chris Barr, who's a member and a friend of Michael's. But Michael or Chris and Michael were on opposite teams. I think Mike or Chris is in the banking business, but he's a member at Granite Bay. So it's kind of a really cool story. And my friend Meredith Lobeck, who is an instructor out there, kind of turned me on to what was going on. So I think it'll be interesting, and I think our listeners are going to enjoy hearing about that.
I think you are underselling it just a little bit, because I got to think this is a story that's something that most people have never heard of in the game of golf, and something that I would venture to say has happened very, very few times ever at any level of golf, ever, ever, ever.
I can always undersell it because I know you're going to bring it right back up.
It's an incredible story. I mean, it's just, it's lightning striking twice, literally.
Absolutely. Also on the guest today is our friend Len Dumas, who is the Len Dumas PGA, who's the executive director and COO of the Northern California PGA, which encompasses pretty much all of Northern California from border to border down to the Monterey area, I think. And I think there's about 1,100 PGA members under the umbrella of the PGA section, the Northern California section. So there's a lot of teaching, a lot of you know, people introducing people to the game, and a lot of being there when folks need you know, some PGA instruction.
We are so lucky to be in this section. The breadth of golf courses and the range that it covers, and everything that Len does throughout the section, and you do to help out and promote it. It's really remarkable. We're truly lucky here.
You know, you talk about the golf courses, and I think we sometimes forget, and you know, unless we're going out on vacation, I suppose, or getting away with it for a weekend, we tend to play, you know, our favorites, you know, a couple of times a month, maybe, or if you're a member at a club, you're playing that on a weekly basis. But when you kind of stick your head up and look around Northern California from Monterey to you know, up to Reno, the mountains and the courses up there, we really are think of being in Cleveland in January and wondering where you're going to play golf. Well, you're thinking of Monterey and Pebble Beach and all of the wonderful courses we have to offer.
Yeah, we are lucky. I mean, just the different terrain and the ocean and the mountains, and we just live in such a beautiful part of the country, and the golf courses show that.
It is fun to get out and explore and not only play the golf courses, but meet the people that run them and, you know, find out what it is that excites them and maybe, you know, get some lifelong friends in the process.
That's what it's all
So
about.
we have one of the things I wanted to mention too, with regard to Len, he's gonna catch us up to date on what's going on in Northern California, but he's got a really wonderful announcement about that concerns Ken Morton Sr., the recently retired director of golf at the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex. Ken is going to be recognized at the Langley this year, and it'll be fun to hear what Len has to say about that.
Yeah, that's an incredible honor, but it's certainly deserved. I mean, Ken Morton Jr. is such a senior, excuse me, is such a giant in the game, and that is going to be incredible.
All that and a whole lot more coming up on this edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. We will be back with more and get involved with Michael Nicoletti and Chris Barr right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Welcome in. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour, Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa. I've got a couple of guests here on the show that have an amazing story. There's a few holy grails in the game of golf, and their story revolves around one of them. Welcome, Michael Nicoletti, PGA head golf professional at Granite Bay Country Club, and Chris Barr, who is a member at Granite Bay. And you guys had an interesting couple of days. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frank.
Good morning, Frank.
Hey, Michael, kind of set the scene. You guys were playing in a tournament, as I understand, on St. Patrick's Day, was it?
Yes, actually, it was the day before. It was Saturday. And we have a fun tradition at our club, which is a kind of an inter-club Ryder Cup type of event where it's all match play. And we do the formats that mimic the actual Ryder Cup. And this happened to be in a four-ball event. And it was a captain's match, actually, because Chris is a captain of the other team. And in a best ball event, it was just no strokes, have at it. And yeah, we get to number seven, which is downhill par three, about 165 yards, and with a front pin, happened to make a hole in one. And Chris comes right behind on the other team, and the literal next swing puts it right on top. It was an incredible. Incredible 3 minutes. We weren't even done celebrating, Frank. It was incredibly surreal.
I like the way you kind of that came out of your mouth. Yeah, I happened to make a hole in one, and then right on top of it, Chris. First of all, what was your reaction to Michael's hole in one, and then what were you thinking as you teed it up?
Well, I wasn't thinking a whole lot. Mike and I love to be competitive with each other. So, leading up to the match, there was a fair amount of trash talking that went on, and we started the match hot. Seven was our third hole of the play. So we started out, really hot. Meredith and I birdied the first hole. We go to the second hole. Mike birdies six, and then we get to seven. Mike's got the tee box and it hits an ace. So. I wasn't thinking anything. I'm thinking, oh man, we're down one. Put a good swing on it. Let's see what happens. And sure enough, it went in the hole. So it was incredibly exciting, and couldn't have happened with a better group of folks.
Speaking of Meredith, you mean Meredith Lobeck, who's a professional teacher out at Granite Bay, and from what I know about Meredith, my guess is her reaction had to be heard all over the golf course.
Absolutely. Fortunately, we had actually a fair bit of audience. There were a couple staff members on the tee. We had, after the first hole in one, we had a couple groups roll over and just see, who made it or what happened. It was the level of celebration for the first one that you obviously, it was a hole in one. So by the time Chris hit, there were another four to six stragglers winding up that just, oh my God, it happened again. So, yeah, it, And frankly, it bears noting Meredith landed right by the hole as well. She was not she did not want to miss the club, so it landed a couple feet away. It we gave her a birdie and just moved on. Congratulations, Meredith.
What are the odds of this? I mean, it has to be astronomical, right?
One of our members kind of did some research and sent us an article. We haven't necessarily done our own research, but. You'll see on it's been put out there 17 million to one.
Wow.
is the fact that they happened back to back. You've heard about him in the same round or same day. I think I was looking up Seamus Power did it at the Masters par three contest, did two of them in the same nine holes, but it was literal back-to-back swings. And I think that it was again, very surreal.
Chris, is this the first time for you, or have you got a pocket full of them already?
No, this was my second. You know, I've played golf since I was 5 years old, and I had 37 years until I had my first one, but I had my first one out of Del Paso last Memorial Day. So I've had two in less than a year. So it's pretty special.
How about you, Michael?
My sixth, actually, but wow. You know, a lot of golf in there, and they all came in bunches. I didn't have one until I was 27 or so. And then kind of four in a year kind of thing. It was, they come in bunches. So any of your listeners get out there.
You know, it's interesting. We were talking a little bit before we got on the air here, but you were talking about, I'm not sure we'd call it a letdown, but certainly a change in the excitement level a couple of holes later after you've both made a hole in one. And I mean, you know, what do you do to top that?
Well, Chris birdied the next hole, which was, again, very annoying player. But after that, thankfully, the good guys were able to take the match back. You know, the phone started going bananas, and it started to make its way around the golf course. We had a few more spectators, and it turned into a little bit of a circus, but to our advantage, I guess.
Yeah, the amateur caved to all of the pressure and the excitement and the distraction. The professional stayed steady and continued to do what he does. And the amateur, you know, had significant mean reversion.
Hey, you got strokes for that. That's enough of that.
Michael, you've been the head professional at Granite Bay for a number of years now. And the course has undergone a little bit of I wouldn't call it a renovation, but kind of a redesign and some new turf out there. Tell us a little bit about the golf course and what it's like.
Yeah, a few years back, we did a turf conversion that also had a redesign and of our bunkering, and also replacement of our greens, kind of restoring them to their original size, but then also a little bit of recontouring. So it's led us, you know, being able to survive the Sacramento summers a lot more consistently. And you know, for those who haven't been there, we feel that it's quite a hidden gem out in this little suburb of Granite Bay. And we're awfully proud of it. So, yeah.
Chris, how long have you been a member there?
I joined right before COVID, Frank. So I joined in April of 2019. So I got to see the course before we did the conversion and afterwards. And it's a great change of golf course. It feels like it's a brand new golf course, very challenging. And the team out there has done a wonderful job.
Yeah, it's always been a pristine a golf course and a wonderful setting and location, and I just can't imagine what the refinements have meant, not only to the staff in their pride there, but to the members as well.
Yeah, everybody's is on board for making it better, and we're excited. We're excited about where it is now and where it's headed. It's always been a good challenge. You know, it's a very demanding, I'd say, second shot golf course, with a few shallow greens and some different lie angles for your second shots. You know, you're playing from a bit of slope. It's just kind of, it's hard to get really downhill, right?
Yeah.
It's always got you a little bit guessing. So
we're talking with Michael Nicoletti, the PGA head golf professional at Granite Bay, and Chris Barr, a member who hit back-to-back holes in one in a tournament just this past weekend. What was it like in the bar afterwards? And how many times were you asked to tell the story?
Quite a few. The bar tab got up there, but you know, it feels like they said they wanted this drink on Nicoletti before they said bar. You know, I don't know if the two tabs matched. So we're going to have to go and look at that and make sure that was equal. It's been fun, you know, the membership, obviously getting this publicity at the club and it's, we're seeing it on different news outlets now. And I'd be surprised if it didn't even get to a few more just because it's such a rare occurrence. But it's been really fun. Obviously, the members, we get a number of hole-in-ones a year, but to have, you know, two back-to-back is just astronomical. So it's been fun.
Well, Frank, it's only fitting, though. The first person that hits the hole-in-one should buy the first drink. So, you know, it's only, you know, chronologically appropriate. You know, Mike bought the first drink.
If I know the members, they all got to two, Chris.
You know, I'm sure that this particular argument will go on for years, but that's the great part of the lore of golf. You know, the story will grow. Can you imagine the membership 20 years from now when they talk about you two and, you know, the driving rain and sleet and both of you were able to nail it?
Dead a winner for sure.
Yeah.
30 miles an hour. Back left pin. No. Yeah, we'd like it on the record. Chris hit a 5-iron and I hit wedge. So
we can clean up that record. Mike's was a prettier shot. He hit a wedge about 8 feet past the hole and spun it back in. Mine hit about, you know, a foot before the hole, jumped and then spun back in. So his was much prettier than mine, but you know, 5-iron, no, it was a 9-iron.
So you were able to see them both go in from the tee.
It's a down par three, so yeah, we had there was not a lot of doubt. We'd get to see them, so
yeah,
that's fun.
Chris, you mentioned you joined the club just before COVID. You had been a player already for a number of years. Michael, can you kind of speak to you know, from the PGA point of view, the growth of the game, you know, during the pandemic, and certainly how fortunate we've been for people to continue, you know, playing the game.
Yeah, we were, you know, obviously the entire industry has seen a large influx and residual effect from COVID. A lot of golfers either came back to the game or started the game because it's an outdoor sport and no contact. Personally, we were very fortunate at our club. We never actually closed for COVID. Things were run outside. There was no, you know, obviously social distancing and everything like that. But our tee sheet was incredibly busy and impacted. And again, our facility operated the golf course itself operated in some capacity the entire time, which, you know, was I think a byproduct of our management making sure that it could be safe for everybody, and our members really appreciate it. And again, the entire industry has felt a large influx, and it's been fun to see.
Chris, who put a golf club in your hand the first time, and what is it about the game that attracts you?
It was my father, Frank. So my father was a banker. This was back in the days in the Midwest when they had Wednesdays off. So on Wednesdays, he would take me out on the golf course, and I got to learn to play at really an early age. So I played growing up, and I've always had a passion for the game. And, you know, it's what really kind of led me to Granite Bay. I've got two younger kids, and, you know, Meredith does such a wonderful job with the junior program out there. You know, I wanted them to learn the game, but, you know, really learn it, you know, in a way that I would be proud of them, you know, and Meredith does such a wonderful job with that program. I wanted them to be part of that, and they have, and, you know, that's kind of what's continued. So, you know, kind of COVID really got my family into golf, and it's become, you know, a lot of a family affair. You know, we try to get out on the weekends, and if nothing else, try to play nine holes together just to get out and have some fun, get some fresh air, and allow them to continue their development in the game. So, I love it, and, you know, we'll continue to keep playing. I'm going to aspire to, you know, keep getting out and getting matches with Mike so we can continue our rivalry.
Yeah, this is going to go on for a few years, I'm guessing.
Definitely. It definitely is a rivalry, that's for sure.
So, you know, Michael, Chris was talking about Meredith and the job she does, and we certainly want to welcome everyone who wants to play the game, but speak a little bit about the importance of kind of getting off to the right start so that you know, you have the right frame of mind and you know, see some progress and you know, take a little bit of the mystique of the game away and begin to enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that we want to make sure that we're prioritizing it at that stage. So for example, I have a 3 and a 5-year-old, and my kids only go to Meredith, and the reason for that is that it's not just about golf. It's not about hitting it perfectly. It's about, you know, different movement skills. She's going to prioritize fun and make that environment someplace that they want to go, regardless of hitting it perfectly. You know, there's a lot in golf. You know, you've got 18 holes. You shoot a 90, you're going to fail 72 times, kind of thing. You know, the goal is to get it in the hole. And some kids, I think, if they get too wound up in that and too frustrated too early, it can be a detriment. And we'd like to keep it simple. We like to keep it fun and very inclusionary for all different types of levels of golfer, types of player, physical abilities, and nobody does it better than Meredith. We have a lot of different junior programs that we offer at the club, and so many of them are successful at bringing people to the game and members to the club, frankly. So it's been fun.
And if I'm not mistaken, some of those programs are open to people that are not members, correct?
They are. You know, there's different sign-up costs and different things. You know, we obviously cater to the membership, but there are opportunities at the club with Crush It and other junior programming, summer camps through the summer. So very robust program, and Meredith makes sure there's something for all different students.
So if any listeners are interested in that, they can certainly call the golf shop and get in touch with you or Meredith Lebeck and move on from there. Guys, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you spending some time with us. I'm you know, the excitement level when somebody hits a hole in one is just through the roof. For it to happen back to back and have a little bit of a gallery there with you as well. This is a lifetime achievement and a lifetime memory, I'm sure.
Definitely for me. And, you know, you're playing in a par three contest today, Frank. So after that first hole in one, that next person, you know what's riding on it. Okay. The gauntlet's been thrown down.
Well, with 18 opportunities, Michael, you know, who knows how many I'll have, right?
Exactly. Yeah. There could be, you know, multiple double ups. Come on.
Chris, you know, you kind of set the bar there with this little match and have suggested to Michael there's more on the way. I wish you continued success and go out and repeat this the next time you play. How's that?
We've got next year. Meredith and I won last year. Mike and Wynn won this last weekend. So next year is the rubber match. So we'll have to come back and talk about, you know, who won that match. And there'll be a fair amount of trash talking that goes on between now and then. But, you know, thanks for the time this morning, Frank, and good chatting with you.
You guys were great. Michael Nicoletti, PGA head golf professional at Granite Bay, and Chris Barr, a member out there, back-to-back holes in one on the same hole, same tournament, next swing, 17 million to one odds. That's why it's called golf, and that's why we love it. Guys, thank you so much for spending some time with us on the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Keep it in the fairway. Have some fun.
Thank you, Frank.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Welcome back in. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour, Sactown Sports 1140. Hello, everyone. I'm Frank LaRosa, welcoming a great friend of the show, Mr. Len Dumas, PGA. He is the executive director and COO of the Northern California PGA and a bit of a regular on the show. Len, how are you?
Just great, Frank. Thanks. And once again, thank you for the opportunity to talk about what we love the most, the greatest game of all, game of golf.
You know, isn't it amazing? You know, I've talked to so many people in the last couple of weeks about the ways they get into golf. And so many of them just have this thread of love because they're either their dads or their grandparents or their mom, you know, played. And in some cases, they put a club in their hands. In other cases, they just said, I just want to go out and be with my family. And it's a lifelong love, Len. And as you well know, it doesn't stop. When it hits you, it hits you hard.
It does, Frank. And the multi, you know, you said it really well. The multi-generational aspect of it is just unbelievable because it is, as far as I can think, certainly at the moment, of the only sport where we have three or four generations. And it's almost age-resisted, if you will, because there's always something to do. And it's no longer dad's game or mom's game or grandpa's game or grandma's game. I mean, the demographic will show the junior population is growing. The skill level is just off the charts. And think of this weekend when we had, you know, the wonderful Players Championship and the way it ended. If you just kind of go, holy moly, everything's on a thread, you know, and a final putt by Wyndham Clark rolls around the hole, and it's a changer. And it's those highs and those lows that we love so much. And you're outdoors enjoying it, as you say. It's just the greatest game.
And when you think about, over the years, how the game has evolved, and you think about some of the people that have been involved that were the heroes of the game, you know, and in the old country, old Tom Morris, for instance, and over here, it was, it was the Hogans, and then it was the Palmers, and and then certainly Tiger Woods, and what's happening to the game now that Tiger's not playing the way he should. Well, you know, here comes something else. Here comes the pandemic, and all of a sudden there's this renewed interest in the game. And in most cases, or I guess I shouldn't say most, but in a lot of cases, you know, there's an interest and it drops off. We're not only dropping off, we're adding people. It's been amazing the growth since the pandemic.
And part of it, Frank, was as it was really the only game in town, it brought the families back together, right? Families went out together and stayed together and found different ways to play and just kept enjoying it, you know. And to your point, hard to believe, you know, Tiger's next zero birthday is 50. How did that happen? Right? How did that happen? We were just celebrating everything. And yet the players now in their 20s, the Schefflers of the world and the McIlroys and on and on and on. Very, very exciting. It's a great fan experience. The events keep changing, so there's a bit more of a closeness to the fans and being there. So we love it, right? We love it. And we have the Masters coming up, which in essence is the start of the spring season, the start of the golf season, the Masters in about 3 weeks or so. And then we go from there.
And it just keeps going. You know, it's the fact that from 1 week to another, even here in Northern California, where we can have some rain and we can have some fog and in some cases some snow, you know, not too far here from Sacramento. It doesn't seem to stop us. We just kind of keep playing. I played 2 or 3 weeks ago. We had some hail twice during the round. It wasn't enough to make us come in, but, you know, we sure noticed it. But we just played right through it. We were having a great time. And then after the fact, it's like, well, we did that together. You know, we got through this round. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I'm thinking about the round we played in Stockton Country Club so many years ago when it was 33 degrees when they let us on the course, you know, and we made it through that round. And I don't know, it's an exciting game. And anybody that's listening has their own stories and their own reasons to love it. But it's incredible. I always love to have you.
Yeah. And the irony, Frank, I guess it's an irony, right? In the summer, that's our coldest time out on the coast and in San Francisco. So we're good in the winter and we're freezing. We're free. We had a discussion this the other day. When the month is called Foggest, that's a clue.
Len, it's always good to catch up with you and certainly the membership of the Northern California PGA. It's about, if my last guess was 1,100 strong from pretty much the footprint of Northern California. And there's a lot of PGA professionals out there teaching the game and welcoming people in and helping them learn to love the game like we do.
And it's continuing, Frank. As a matter of fact, the uptick in folks coming into the game, right, working their way from associates to being PGA members, the registrations are higher than they've been in probably 10 or 15 years. That's very, very exciting. And the opportunities keep growing, the divergence in the game, to be a club professional, to be an instructor, to be a general manager, to be in the marketing team, to be in the sales team. It's just endless right now. So it's very, very exciting.
That's really exciting. Want to talk about an event. You're door to door with events all throughout the year, but one that will be of special importance to people up here in Northern California, the upcoming Langley, and again, the Langley named after Jim Langley, who was the head professional at Cypress Point for for 34 years, and it's the Northern California PGA Foundation's primary fundraiser. And over the course of the 15 or 16 years, just give them kind of a running list of who's come to help us celebrate.
Amazing, Frank, right? This, yes, 2024 will be year 16. Started with the king, of course, started with Mr. Palmer. And as you say, who have we have? Billy Casper, Johnny Miller, and Jack Nicklaus. Of course, we've had Sir Nick Faldo just last year, Sir Nick Faldo, and on and on and on. Just incredible. And then we also honor a local, Frank, someone that not necessarily a tour player, but has made those great contributions. Our dear friend Tom Addis was recognized along with Jack Nicklaus. And this year, we're very, very excited. Butch Harmon, you know, we can't wait for Butch's stories, but just as importantly, Ken Morton Sr. You know, Ken is, and the Morton family just involved, not involved, probably created what is now golf in the Sacramento area, the Say Golf Sacramento area youth that Mr. Morton started many years ago, in essence, was the forebearer of the first tee, and on and on and on. And as we know, he retired from 60, 61 years at Hagen Oaks about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. So we, and had brought along so many of us for decades. You know, here we are now honoring Mr. Morton this August with Mr. Harmon at the Pebble Beach, of course. And the cause is the funding, as you mentioned, Frank, it's our largest fundraiser for our PGA Hope programs, keeping our veterans playing. And our program is just massive here in Northern California. We look to serve about 1,000 veterans just this season. At one time, we had a goal of serving 1,000 over the life of the program. And now we're going to do it in 1 7-month period. Just incredible.
You know, it's we've talked about PGA Hope before, certainly, but the stories just continue to amaze me. The depth of emotion and you know, need to be back in a community where people can be appreciated. PGA Hope has done that and saved, you know, it's, I say saved as if it's just rolling off the tip of my trunk, but it has saved so many lives, and it's just a really heartwarming to listen to some of these folks that have been through the program, that have been through what they've been through, whether it's during a war or, you know, just their military service. But it goes well beyond you know, just raising some money for a charity. It's as we've said, it really does save lives.
It is a life changer, Frank. And our sessions are 7 weeks, and we see that person or those people, you know, week one, week two, they're in the back, they're not talking, they're not necessarily participating, but then all of a sudden they start moving up. And by the end of the class, they just love it and keep coming back. And so we always, as you know, you've been there, we always leave with more than we ever took there. And we learn a lot about people. We learn a lot about courage. We learn a lot about life. And as Bob Epperly, you know, our dear Bob, one of our national trainers and our 2018 Patriot Award winner, says, the idea is the camaraderie and bringing the people together. We just use golf as the medium to do that. Yeah. That's pretty powerful.
Linda, I'm sure there are listeners that, you know, some with military service maybe would love somehow to be involved in this. Maybe others that just want to volunteer. Maybe others that just would like to support it in a monetary fashion. How can people help?
Well, you know, give us a call. We are at 707-449-4742. And let us know what you're thinking, and we see if we can put some things together. We're always looking for volunteers, certainly the veterans. And then ncpgafoundation.org. If you'd love to make a contribution, you know, right to the website. And certainly, as we said, that keeps the programs going.
You know, as you were talking about Ken Morton and the 60 plus years that he was there, all of a sudden this picture went through my mind, you know, what the tree is like that, you know, folks that that trained under Ken, that trained others. And I mean, what a massive impact one man has had on the game of golf, huh?
It could actually, Frank, be larger than Amway. But, you know, you're absolutely right, because Mr. Morton, just like Tom Addis, we mentioned earlier, they were among the first instructors for the PGA Professional Golf Management Program. We've called it, and it's iterated a number of times over the years, but they were among the first group to get that phone call, say, hey, we're thinking about doing this. Would you like to be an instructor? So, you know, to that point, on and on and on and on. And Mr. Morton, as a master professional, of becoming a mentor to those that are looking, that are achieving their master professional status. So it just doesn't stop, right? It just doesn't stop.
He is a member of a couple of halls of fame, the World Golf Hall of Fame for one, but the Northern California PGA Hall of Fame as well. And along with some great friends of his over the years, but that is coming due here pretty soon again as we celebrate this year's crop in Reno.
Yeah, that's right, Frank. As a matter of fact, this week, but at the end of the week, the nominations and the support for the nominations are due from our committee. So we have about six or seven that looks like are going to be nominated this week, and then we will. Jenna and I go through all the paperwork, make sure we have everything we need, the background, the letters of recommendation, the reasons why, right? And then take it to the committee, and over the next couple of weeks, make the decision on the class of 2024. So this will be our 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 4. This will be our seventh class of Hall of Famers.
That's hard to believe.
Yep.
You know, and there's certainly names like Ken Venturi and other nationally mm-hmm. recognized people that are in that Hall of Fame, but there's a lot of folks just like Ken Morton who have done the job over the years at their clubs, at their cities, at their facilities to grow the game and help make it what it is today.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, Frank. When we had Mr. Morton Sr., we had him with Steve Mancinella, you know, the godfather of the Central Valley, and Rick Jeter and such, and they played junior golf together. So yeah, we're going back 50, 60 years, right, of friendship and bringing them together. Again, once again, just to thanks for taking us to this level and PJ members, golf professionals like myself, who they've all helped along the way and get us back in the lane when we wander a little bit, give us some room to run, to try our crazy new ideas. But it all comes together, and we can't thank them enough for it.
This is a question sort of out of left field, Len, but as we've suggested, the game is in a really good place right now, and there's a lot of things being done and a lot of programs being developed. But where do you see the game, say, 5, 10 years down the road?
You know, I think the families are going to stay in there, Frank. We're going to have our challenges. You know, we talk about rollbacks and so on and so forth. The one thing that needs to come to a rest really is the whole PGA Tour, you know, PIF, Public Investment Fund. That's still out there and unfortunately is part of every conversation. But we look at the numbers from the Ryder Cups, and I'm certainly a little biased because the PGA of America, our properties are the Ryder Cup and the PGA Championship. Numbers are up. We have the Ryder Cup, you know, next year at Bethpage. That is just going to be a hoot. And that's for sure. We have the PGA Championship coming here in 2028, a rollback. I was going to try to make us all younger. 2028 at the Olympic Club in 2033. The Ryder Cup is going to be here. In the meantime, the USGA with all the championships as Pebble Beach as the anchor, and all the great events annually. The Farmers and the Genesis down in Southern California. So whatever year it is here in California, we're so blessed to have championship golf. Our junior programs are just taking off. PGA Junior League, drive, chip, and putt. It's just better. You know, when the final prize is to go hit some shots at Augusta, that pretty much has everybody's attention. So it's just great.
Last couple of times we've been able to get out, I've been very impressed with your game. It's really rounding into shape. You've put some work in, and you're getting pretty strong out there. Kind of hard to keep up with.
Well, that's very nice, Frank. You know, one piece is working, and then the four others just say, well, maybe some other day, but not today. Well, and we haven't played in a while, so we need to get back together. We need to get G-Man and get Scott and get back out there.
You know? I think that's a plan. And now that it's been released on the airwaves, we're kind of forced to do that. So
yeah, okay.
I'll work on finding us a date.
Len that's Dumas. Great, but we even have a little more daylight now, too.
Exactly. Len Dumas, Executive Director and COO of the Northern California PGA. Always a hoot, and it's always great to catch up and find out what the section is doing and, what we can do to help continue to grow this game we love. So we appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks once again.
This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. We'll be back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Welcome back in. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. This happens weekly right here at Sactown Sports 1140. Scott Marsh and Frank LaRosa talking about golf and hoping that we can, maybe make the game a little more fun for you. The game can be a little, probably a lot overwhelming at some times. We all go through it. I mean, the PGA Tour players go through it. But when you can walk away after a round of golf that you spend a day with your friends and you smile, you know you've had a good day, right?
No doubt. Just ask Wyndham Clark finishing out the Players, lipping out on 18 to not win that tournament. So every golfer's felt that experience. But I will guarantee you one experience that nobody has felt, I'm sure, is playing in match play, hitting a hole-in-one, and then having your competitor hit a hole-in-one to have the hole with you. I'm pretty sure that nobody else has done that.
Can you imagine that? I mean, first of all, the exhilaration and the thrill of Michael Nicoletti knocking it in on the seventh hole at Granite Bay and kind of turning to his partner thinking, well, I've won this hole. And the very next swing, Chris Barr gets up and he dunks it right on top. I mean, that's phenomenal. It was suggested that it's 17 million to one odds. You're right. That's not happening every day.
No, I'd just love to know if it's ever happened on the PGA Tour. I just love to know if it's truly ever happened in real match play. It probably has somewhere along the line, but I mean, it has to be under 10 times.
You know, it's so out of the ordinary. The fact that they had a foursome playing and actually some other members coming around and kind of watching. So there was a bit of a gallery there as well. It certainly makes that one not one anybody's going to question. And there's always stories about, well, I did this and I did that. And if there aren't witnesses around, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You go along and you believe the person and you hope that that the whole story pans out. This one we know actually did.
It's amazing. I think it's up right up there with the Bing Crosby story you like to tell at Cyprus.
Yeah, yeah. When they were thinking about adding Cyprus to the rotation for the what was then, the Bing Crosby National Pro-Am, or the Clambake, I should say. Everybody involved thought, well, Cyprus is probably a little too tough because of 16. 16 has, about a, depending on the day, pretty much 190 to 200 yard carry across the little inlet there. And so they decided, well, let's go out and play it. And wouldn't you know it, Bing Crosby stands on the tee, knocks it right in the hole, turns around to the people behind him and says, well, I don't think it's all that tough a hole. I think we can play our tournament here.
That's the ultimate. That is the ultimate. And obviously you were at it, the hole-in-one competition, for the first tee up at Serrano too. And somebody did hit a hole-in-one. So that's pretty cool.
Somebody did, Josh, and I can't remember his last name. I actually sat with him after the event, and so I kind of bookends with the, with Michael and Chris dunking right after each other, and then the end of the day with Josh at Serrano Country Club. So the first tee has an event. This was the third year. I would suggest that people may want to look for this for next year. It's really cool. It's an 18-hole hole-in-one showdown, which is to say that every hole on there on the golf course is a hole-in-one with distances, oh, between about 135, 136 to I think the longest one was maybe just around 170. You play in eightsomes. You only have one shot, right? There's no putting. You're 135, 40 to 170 from every green, and everybody takes one shot. If nobody makes a hole in one, which happens more often than not, there's always a closest to the pin. And there's some fun prizes there. But they had a field of about 128 that played. Everybody seemed to have a great time. Beautiful weather. And Serrano Country Club is in spectacular shape right now, having gone through some touching up here and there. I think they changed out all of the bunkers, all of the sand in the bunkers, and renovated those. And number 11, which is kind of their signature hole. They cleaned up some of the foliage that was around there, and so it's mostly rock in front of that green through the water, and with that white sand, and playing from 160 yards, I think we were today. It was really a spectacular shot. As a matter of fact, I came up a little short, hit the rock in front of the green. It was right on line. It actually clipped the flag stick as it went by and landed in the back of the screen. So it didn't dunk though.
That's
But it was a great
unfortunate.
event, and
Yeah.
and raised a lot of money for first tee, and somebody walked away with a $20,000 prize, and life is good.
Absolutely. And it's such a great cause for first tee. So just an incredible event for the right cause. That's a great day right there.
And it's always fun to have Len Dumas on the show, and to talk about the Langley, and the fact that that not only Ken Morton is going to be recognized, but Butch Harmon is the other honoree, the national honoree. And I've been around Butch once. He did a symposium here at Hagen Oaks, and kind of went through some of his teaching methods and so on and so forth, and he's a kick. He's got some great stories, so I'm really looking forward to an opportunity to talk with him and see what's on his mind, and talk about all the other Harmons in the world, and watch Ken Morton be honored for the Langley,
Yeah,
named after his good friend Jim Langley.
that's going to be awesome. That's another just great event, great cause, great person that it recognizes, and you couldn't have two better inductees than those two.
And with spring rapidly approaching, I think we're just kind of on top of everything at this point. So you and I have to look at our calendars and figure out when we're going to go play golf, because that's what we're supposed to do.
It's time to play some more golf, Frank.
All right. It's a date. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. This is Sacktown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa for my buddy Scott Marsh. Thanks much for joining us. And, if we're really lucky, maybe we'll all bump into each other on a golf course someday. And talk about the things we thought we'd wanted to do every time we stepped up to the tee. Thanks for being with us. Back more next week.